The foot is on Triple M.
The weekend is here.
Oh, I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And don't you love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Once again, the Friday Huddle makes its way up to Sydney Town. The Hawks taking on the Swans. And the big news out of the Hawthorn camp, he is back, the four-time premiership player. Jarrad Roughead will play for the Hawks tonight. Have we got a show coming your way? Ted Richards and Leo Barry to join us. Judge Juddy, Nate's got a top five he's very, very happy about. The Hawthorn CEO, Justin Reeves. And Juddy is bringing to the show, apparently, the biggest guest Triple M footy has ever heard, the most relevant. This is a show that's had Ricky Ponting and Adam Gilchrist during the World Cup, and Judge is going even better. Good evening to you, Luke Darcy.
Howard, great to be with you, as always, on a Friday, and feeling on top of the world at the moment. Excited on so many levels. Good to be with the Friday Huddle team, as always.
My word, Damo is here after another big week. One of your former employers caught on fire this week. Everything okay, Damo?
Yeah, and we're on air, aren't we, at the moment?
Yes, we are.
That's good to know. It was a strange week, wasn't it? Going back to Friday night, this time last week, when Ben Stratton had decided to pinch and punch a few things, and then it just went into racial stereotyping by a club president, into the whole crowd debate, and the Jaden Stevenson thing. Was probably the busiest week we've had this season.
There's a lot to get through. The man that is providing is the biggest guest, apparently, in the history of the Friday Huddle, if not Triple M Footy, is here. How are you, Judge?
I'm terrific, Howard. Great opening, energy right up, and not only the biggest, but certainly the most relevant guest that we've ever had on this show.
Hang on, now you're going most relevant. You told me the biggest, now all of a sudden it's been downgraded to most relevant.
Biggest and most relevant. It's enormous, this one, so you're welcome. Not only you guys, but the listeners as well.
And great to see that you're still supporting the Bangladesh Tigers. Having a look at your shoes, welcome to you, Nate Brown. The Tigers were good last night against the Aussies, and Nate, well, our man's obviously still supporting
them. Actually, I only saw the Black Party shoes. I didn't see the big tiger on the side.
Nate'll like them. Nate'll like them.
The big tiger on the side, does that match your top that Beck bought for you last couple of weeks ago, the Kenzo one?
Matches my inner spirit, Nate 08. Tiger prowling, hunting the its prey.
It's a visual gag, clearly, but we've had a photo taken by the Big Nose producer. So if you want to have a look
at Triple M Footy,
My only explanation to that is clearly Beck's dressing him.
Yeah.
Because they're not in his wheelhouse. They have a massive big tiger on the side of his shoe.
I'm looking good, and you sing when you're winning, Nate. That's what we always say.
Robbie Williams, yep. He does all the time, and I'm pretty happy where I'm at the moment, Howie.
There's a poll online at Triple M Footy on Instagram as to whether you like Judge's footwear. Hello to you, Nathan.
I tell you who is pretty happy with themselves at the moment is the man sitting to my left, Damien Barrett, who brought up just before that he thinks Brendan Julian has trained off a bit and isn't looking as good as what he used to. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Brad Pitt.
We can all verify that. Yeah. That was a pre-show conversation that Damien Barrett went with. So I've been watching the Cricket World Cup. Brendan Julian, not what he used to be, says Damo.
I think he said he's had his snout in the feedback, didn't he?
I clearly remember something along those lines.
You know what I liked about it? Is the wheel went dead quiet and all in our minds thought, right, that's what we're going with straight on. This is the best looking man to ever play Test cricket for Australia, Damo. Why do you feel that he's not as good looking and as handsome as he used to be?
He may be the best looking man ever born, Howie.
Right, but
I just don't think he is right now.
Right. What's happened, do you think?
Nah.
Like, where's he fallen away?
He's only a 9.82 out of 10 now.
Where's he lost the 0.18?
You're backtracking, aren't you?
Just the cover off.
No, he's trained off.
Are you obviously happy with the way you're aging, Damo?
Observing others.
I think if people have got some feedback for Damo, I think that would be well received.
Put it up on Twitter. That's the best place to get him.
I genuinely think the Camaro has gone to your head.
Oh, has it?
The muscle car.
Yeah.
Also said in the same sentence, Bradman wasn't actually that good with the bat. Went on that he didn't think Gary Ablett was in good form as well. Nath, extraordinary scenes when we arrived at the SCG. You need to run through exactly what happened.
Well, when we got to the front of the SCG, we saw all these people handing out flyers.
Nate. They're how to vote cards. In fact, if you want to get it right.
Vote one, Luke Darcy. Say that again, for Australia's hottest radio hunk. Now, there's people outside the SCG, so this has actually gone global, or national, to be honest. We're from Melbourne, but vote one, Luke Darcy, and we're led to believe that Darcy himself wants to win this that bad that he has
There's no doubt about that.
Walked out his own cash to have these put up everywhere.
That you is... can see them on at Triple M Footy at the moment. Das, we did arrive at the ground. There was people handing out how to vote cards. It was like the federal election.
I'm pretty happy with the Sydney team. I think they're doing their job, as you would expect. The Melbourne team have had a pretty good campaign.
And, well, for those that aren't aware, what are we voting for?
It's Take 5 magazine's hottest radio hunk and very much sought
aren't
after.
Boy band, Take 5?
Let's Take 5, mate. Don't try and just dumb this down.
I've never heard of the magazine.
Have you heard of GQ?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, it's
are they in the
same
stable?
Family. It's exactly the same type of family. Have you heard of the Logies?
GQ has a nice ring to it. Yeah. Take 5. Well, that sounds like it's a bit cut price.
GQ sounds is sort like of your old line. School,
who are you
old
up against, news. For those that aren't aware, who are you up against?
Like all the top people in radio, all the people that are well received. Dave Hughes.
Steve Price, he's a hot bit of crumpet.
He's a big personality, Pricey, Grant Denyer.
Fairly small company.
Grant Denyer?
Kyle Sandland.
I'm not sure Grant Denyer's in this.
Grant Denyer's 4 foot.
Well, he's in the under.
What's that got to do with it?
He's in a smaller category, Grant Denyer.
Is Brendan Julian on it? Brendan Julian on it, does?
BJ, is he operating on radio?
No, he should.
If he was, Damo would have him scrubbed from the competition.
Probably got him covered, so... No, it's been well received when you walk down the media hallway here and they're posted up all through the and you go to the toilet here at the SCG and we've got them up everywhere, Howard.
If you want to vote for, I can't believe I'm saying this, but if you want to vote for Das, email take5@bowermedia.com.au and just email the word Darcy. What's the prize?
I can feel the support of the Triple M family here in a big way. Yeah. Now. The prize, it's a prestigious thing. I mean, what do you get for being a Times Man in the year? I don't know. I mean, probably just get...
You'll find out.
What I've been told, Howard, and this is from a good authority. Remember how Karl Stefanovic wore the suit every day just to see whether people had noticed? Yes. Well, Das has actually asked for a picture in the background of this Vote One Luke Darcy of Tom Brady to be put there because he feels that he looks a lot like Tom Brady. And he just wanted to do a test to see if anybody was actually noticed that that picture of Tom Brady is not him.
Well, you've travelled to America with me, Brown, and you know that happens regularly when I'm in the United States. People often come up and...
He's actually got a normal size neck, Duke.
Now it's starting to get personal. It starts at the level where we're going with the long neck.
Mistaken Tom Brady for an emu. So,
what's the prize, boss? When you win, what's the prize?
I think it's just a lot of prestige attached to it, Howard, and I feel very comfortable being recognised for my work. Unlike Brendan Julian, according to Damo, I'm going the other way. Starting to come into my own.
We'll get Brendan on before the end of the show, I guarantee you.
I think the wellness that you've pursued, Das, is really working for you.
Thank you, Damo. I feel pretty proud of that.
You've got a top five, Nath, which we're looking forward to later on as well.
That'd
I'm really looking forward to that. Now, Judge Juddy's coming up in the next segment, but Damo, you mentioned that there was news galore to get through. What have you got right off the top for us?
What's up with the Sunday game, Howard? The Western Bulldogs playing the Collingwood team, and Toby McLean has been omitted out of the Bulldogs team, along with Bailey Dale and Ryan Gardner being a premiership player, Brownie. So, not afraid to wield the axe this year, the Bulldogs and a few other teams. Shacky comes back in, as does Taylor Duray, Ed Richards and Rourke Smith. And the Pies have decided to replace Jaden Stevenson, Juddy, with Ben Reed. Not a lot to like, obviously, but he's got back in on the back of...
Been some big names dropped this week. Justin Westhoff, Paddy Ryder being dropped at Port Adelaide. So, McLean, I rate him as a really good player. I think he's synonymous with where the Bulldogs are at the moment. You don't know what you're going to get week in, week out, and that's probably why he's lost his spot.
Started the year pretty well, didn't he, Toby McLean?
He was going very well at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Playing a bit more as a forward, Toby McLean. So Josh Dunkley's probably taken up a few of the midfield minutes that Toby McLean's had. I think he's an exceptional player. But you're right, not uncommon for Luke Beveridge to send a very good player back down. Mm. I was in Adelaide the last couple of days, and that's resident. Sam Pell-Pepper dropped as well as Paddy Ryder. Who was the other one from Port Adelaide?
Justin
Westhoff. He's a running Best and Fairest winner. So, yeah, big week for omissions.
Damo, big news broke this week that the Footy Show is doing a comeback show on Grand Final.
Yep.
Does that mean you'll be involved?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, but it does mean that Eddie, Sam and Trevor are back on the Thursday of Grand Final week.
Why wouldn't you be involved, Damo? Someone to put a big amount of your time and your passion into that space?
Because of the 8 or 9 or 10 years or whatever it was I was on, Das, I don't think I went on the Grand Final Footy Show apart from maybe once. It's not a new...
You're show. A home and away only operator,
yeah,
right?
I don't think the Rod Laver Arena is...
Is your... The
people
your
that you want...
What about the judge?
You're thumbing your nose at it,
You're getting a TV role again?
No, I haven't had the call up yet. I'm sure it'll come, though.
But, Damo, this is a celebration of the biggest stars to be on the footy show in the last 25
correct.
Years.
Correct. Surely. Surely you, you've which is why I will not be on it. Yeah.
I think they'd have your little TV over in the corner like you used to and point to a few things, Damo. If, I know the producer of the footy show very well.
We all do.
Yes. He's referred to as the big nose producer here at Triple M. I think he could grab a microphone and would you confirm that Damien Barrett is going to be on the grand final footy show? If you know.
It's silence back there.
It's a bit awkward.
It's a snub, Damo.
They can't even look him in the eye, which is a
oh, no.
That's not a good sign. No. Will Chris Judd get back onto the grand final footy show for...
He's not saying much, is he?
Can't look him in the eye.
I think our man, Juddy, was one of the reasons why the show
probably...
Oh, no. We've discussed
I
before.
I think we know. TV when the bright lights come on, Juddy's just not
mate,
really...
The ratings halved when I came off that show.
Did they?
The numbers don't lie, that's all.
Sorry, Damo, let's get to a little bit more news about the game itself. What else is floating around?
The world's gone mad in so many ways this week, hasn't it? Jeff Canada, I still feel, has escaped the scrutiny that other people would have got had they said what he said about I'm not racist, but, and then went down a racial stereotyping path. And then you had Hawthorn members yesterday, Juddy, on the back of the decision by the Hawthorn team tonight, and we'll see it pretty soon, to wear number 37 in a warm-up jersey sense, making all sorts of threats and statements about where their club's at. I mean, this obviously is in relation to the Final Quarter documentary that Adam Goods has been released this year. And Peter and Sean Burgoyne decided to take it to the Hawthorn group, and they've decided to wear 37 tonight, but there's been a backlash of it. Keen to speak to Justin Reeves, the CEO of the club, in about an hour's time now, about it. So we might park that topic there. But it has been an emotive one.
Yeah, it's been a big week, and it hasn't been a positive week for football. Damo, obviously the big story this week revolved around Collingwood and one of their young star players.
Yeah, just to recap, a 10-match ban for Jaden Stevenson for betting on three separate Collingwood games, rounds 4, 6 and 9. He had games, bets within those games, a combination of bets ranging from goals kicked by himself, winning margins of Collingwood and also possessions of teammates. And they were all held, contained in multi-bets within those games. None of the bets were successful. And there was a total of $36 from the entirety of the wagering. But the amount, Juddy and guys, ultimately didn't matter. The fact he was betting within games and had the ability on the back of the bet to match fix or spot fix is probably the better terminology. I think it's the right penalty. And I wouldn't have been surprised nor disappointed had he actually been taken out of the entirety of the season. He's been allowed now to come back in the first week of finals.
Look, I think anyone who's been in the AFL system, and firstly, I think that's a massive punishment, and look, he probably deserves something around there, but the part that I just staggered beyond belief, Juddy and Brownie, you got, even at the end of my career, every single year you get sat through a discussion and it is all geared around no gambling. It cannot be any clear. I would have done 15 of those sessions by the time I'd finished. So the players...
And there's more now.
They cannot get more
information. There's no ambiguity there at all, is there? Just is a reminder how stupid young blokes are.
Yeah.
You know, young blokes under the age of 24 just often put in zero thought before they act. And this is one of those cases. And I think their punishment was fair. I think it was severe, but fair. And he'll have learned a huge lesson from it and will never do it again. But what a huge cost to that footy club.
It is. And we said before, Ben Reid's the replacement for him on this particular game against the Bulldogs tomorrow. Brownie, do you think Jamie Elliott is as like-for-like as you can get? When he gets his body right.
Yeah, he's a great player, Jamie Elliott. But what they lose with Stevenson, I don't think there's a player in the AFL that plays quite like Jaden Stevenson. Yeah. The height he is, how quick he is to think, and how electric he is on the lead. I think it was only a few weeks ago we were up here and he played on Dane Rampey. You've never seen Dane Rampey be on the back foot like he was that night. He missed goals, so he didn't really make Dane Rampey pay, but he's just a player that there is nothing like him in the AFL right now, and they are going to miss him.
I thought Josh Dacos might have come into the side. I believe his VFL form's outstanding. He's not far away. It's not exactly a like for like, but they're listening good shape. They've got options. They'll miss him, but I think they're in pretty good shape, Colin.
59 goals from the 38 games he's played. First of those, round one last year. It's an extraordinary career we're watching unfold at the Rising Star last year, and a slowish start this year, but he got it back, hadn't he, Brownie?
He's been playing good footy, yeah.
Yeah, so the way it's all unfolded and the locker room chats around it, Juddy, I just want to get the views of the three ex-players in the room as to how it's unfolded and probably the professionalism of this club at the moment, where 2019 standards have it that Jeremy Howe overheard or heard, was told, whatever, that there had been a bet placed by Jaden Stevenson in the game, and he took it upon himself as one of the leaders of the club to take it and ensure that Jaden himself took it to higher authorities.
Sorry, Judge, you're not plugged in there.
Judge is off air.
All right, someone else can give their opinion while we sort the judge out.
All right, Judge.
I think he's back.
Sounding a little bit
back on?
SEN-like all of a sudden. Triple M footy there for him. And Judge has pulled his own cord out, so that's not going to help our technical team.
He's still gone. What was the question, Damo? Repeat the question.
The locker room behaviour on this occasion, in that it was reported to the higher authorities
by
Jeremy Howe,
who apparently rang Scotty Pendlebury.
Yeah, made Scotty Pendlebury aware of the way we've had it told to us that it was he who heard it in the showers or in the locker room of the third game in question, the round 9 game against St Kilda, and ensured that it went higher.
Well, there's two roads you can go there. You can try and sweep it under the rug, or like Jeremy Howe did, you can take the bit between the teeth and make something of it. So unless you're in that position, I guess you don't know what you would do, but it seems like Jeremy Howe's done the right thing.
My word, it is now time for...
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
You back? You're not on here. Hang on, Judge.
Take mine.
This is a shambles. There you go. Nate's off
here. Very challenging start to Judge Juddy, let me tell you, Howie. I won't direct any questions toward Nate 08, considering I'm on his equipment. Best on grand votes.
Yes.
Bella Thorne.
She gets
the best on grand votes. She's a US-based actress who this week had nude pictures hacked from her computer. Now, this is a very bad situation.
It is, Juddy. We're aware of this.
Thorne said during the week that she was going to take her power back, and she actually chose to release the pictures herself on her own media platforms, which is an interesting strategy, Howard, and one that I like, because you can't be held to ransom by these hackers once you've released the pictures yourself. And it actually got me to thinking, Purple.
Right.
And obviously I've got an extensive catalogue of nude pictures of myself on various bits of electrical equipment, Howie.
Of course you do.
And they would be worth a huge amount of money.
Of course they would.
On the open market, so... I'm thinking I should start releasing them, Duke.
I reckon
get ahead of the curve. I don't want any hackers getting a hold of them. And I'm going to start releasing them. One a week. That's all.
Head to triplem.com.au. We'll get one out tonight, I think, Judge. Do they sort of self-portraits?
Self-portraits, just a mixture. And Beck travels a lot. I never know when I'm going to get a text saying I just need a couple of nudes sent through from you, Judd Man. So in case that happens, I am ready to go, Howard.
I think we'll fully support that.
I'm not sure it's a way forward.
Yeah, we'll get to the worst on grand votes. Worst on grand votes, number one goes to Pope Francis.
Oh, the Pope.
This week, after he called Mary the world's first influencer. And people are unhappy with this. And to be honest, I can understand why. Obviously, Mary was involved in the Immaculate Conception.
Yes.
And
did he really call her that?
That's what he said. World's first influencer. Hard for some people to get their head around that, Purple. But when Pope Francis implies that Mary spent her days at Coachella, or the equivalent of 2,000 years ago, it's not ideal for Mary's brand. And I can understand why people were upset at Pope Francis.
This is areas I'm not sure we should be going into.
Two votes this week go to the doubters. And we've got some audio for this.
A woman named Marijuana Pepsi Van Dyke earned her PhD from Cardinal Stritch University in Wisconsin.
Inspiring stuff there by Marijuana Pepsi, or Dr. Marijuana Pepsi, as she's now known. And it proves that you can overcome adversity. And to be honest, it got me thinking about Howard.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And we all worry about him, how this man with a prepubescent body, how he's going to survive in the world, particularly when we're not around to help, Duke.
It's a good point you make.
Oh, yeah.
We're concerned about him.
I hope he hears this story, and I hope he gets inspired by it. He too can overcome the various challenges he's been gifted.
I've had a good week in the gym this week.
That's my segment, Howie. Okay. My segment. And three votes go to people criticising Essendon for sending Matt Guelfi to hospital last night in a taxi. And in all honesty, it was actually a 24-hour gym open in Northbridge. They didn't even need to send him to hospital. There was a guy lifting weights. He was halfway through his personal training course, and they just got a opinion on his ribs from them, and they told him to rub some dink rub into Guelfi's ribs and went on his merry way. So there's people criticising Essendon to get the three votes this week.
Where was it? That's a quick serving of Judge Juddy. It was
time constraints, dude.
He covered a lot of ground. He had some audio issues. But all in all, I think big thumbs up for me.
I didn't understand Guelphy. What did I miss?
I didn't understand the influencer.
We had to watch the footy last night.
Right. I was watching the cricket.
He was taken to a medical facility.
What's that got to do with Northbridge?
Taxi last night.
I think I got it.
But I'm working with amateurs here.
Yeah, you got on the screen.
Okay, you explain it to me then. It didn't make any sense at all.
He's off air.
He can't talk.
You don't need to just go and drill into Judge Shuddy. Just let it sit.
That was bizarre.
Joe picked up without Nath being able to contribute, though.
Not many have worked out Nath hasn't got his mic.
Top five next. Might be the best one to Nath Dunn because he's not plugged in. Nate's got a big top five he's been working on. That is coming up in this segment. The next segment, Juddy is bringing to us the biggest ever or most relevant ever guest this show's
biggest
ever
and
heard.
Most relevant, Howard.
I've just been scrolling through Juddy's phone, disturbing some of the stuff that he's got that he's threatening to release. Okay. Oh, I'm going to have a second
only for
thought.
Security reasons, Duke.
I suggest he doesn't do that, Howard.
You can head to our Instagram page now for all sorts of
don't
material,
do it.
I think.
Don't have a look.
Including Juddy's shoe vote and Darce's campaign to be the hottest radio hunk that this country has ever seen. We need to talk about the football at some stage. Damo, Hogan v. May.
It's a fascinating matchup.
It is.
Tomorrow, isn't it? The man who ultimately left Melbourne and will be playing on the man that Melbourne brought in as a result of that transaction in going down last year. So Stephen May's going to be really underdone, and Jesse Hogan was coming off his best game for the Dockers last week. He kicked three.
Why is Stephen May going to be underdone?
Because he's only played the one game back, Brownie.
But he's been training for a long time. He should be fit. Ready to go.
He's played one game in half a season of footy. He'll be very underdone.
No.
Be very underdone.
He looked pretty good last week.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting matchup, though, isn't it? Given that they've got the bloke who they left left the team playing against the one who's the saviour for them, and they're going into it at a 3-9 scenario. Interestingly enough, during the week, they changed dramatically their coaching structure, which is something that's not often done during a season.
Yeah, what did they do, Purple?
Look, people can go and have a look at the Triple M footy websites and apparatuses on social media to get the exact detail, but just switching around of all sorts of roles.
Apparatus. The apparatus.
What
are these apparatus?
You know what I love?
Where does that word fit in that sentence?
You're allowed to say I don't know what they did.
when you don't have the what answer.
We don't talk about the detail like this.
Your story, and then you've gone with apparatuses.
I've never seen someone panic on air more than Damo didn't know the answer.
Yes, I did.
Wasn't that hard to press the question?
Jeez.
You're a journalist, man. You can't go with words like apparatus.
Do we want to talk about boring stuff about who's the line coach of the Demons, do we?
Let me answer it very, very quickly. Jade Rulling's elevated. Brendan McCartney's gone into development.
Brendan McCartney's been sideways moved.
I'm not sure we need an apparatus to work that one out. Oh. It's not that hard, mate.
Brendan Julian.
Jeez.
I think it is time for Brownie's work here.
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
Such a positive, warm environment, this one. Any little error is just slept straight under the carpet. All right, Nate.
He's got a smug look about him, mate.
He looks confident.
He looks prepared.
Howard, at the start of the week when it was my turn to do the top five, I thought, what am I going to do? And I wanted to do something on you. I wanted to do something positive. But I went to Buzz Rothfield and I found his number. Actually, Damo got his number for
thanks
me.
Thanks for that.
Contacted Buzz.
Yep.
What did he say?
No response.
And what,
I texted him
for those
twice
again,
and rang him.
Did you actually try and get hold of him?
Yeah, and no response at all.
Nate, for those in the Triple M family, massive as it is, who don't know Buzz's work, how would you...
Well, Buzz did the top 15 cricket commentators in our country right now and left Howard out. And they've had a run-in previous
no, we haven't. To
you
that.
You did, you did.
And I went down the path of calling Jim as well. Brayshaw, he didn't want to do it either. So I decided to go with a really positive outlook because you are a positive person. Very. It just came across my desk that you did a podcast during the last couple of weeks called The Elephant Rope with Zach Tui and also Lockie Henderson.
Nice show, very positively received.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all, it was about an hour and 15 that I had to sit through, but it was really good.
Thank you.
It was really good. So what I wanted to do, because in honour of you being really positive about everything, is go positive. And here's here's number five, and this is... the two boys talking about you, and this is what I love about you, the fact that now everybody calls you Howard.
We have got Mark Howard.
Howie. Biggest
Howie
podcast.
Or
Howard.
Sorry, he likes to be called Howard. Yeah. Apologies.
So if anyone out there that sees him down Bowen Head surfing or anything like that?
Or if you ever just reference him on social media, he likes just being called Howard.
It's not funny. I'm getting that's emails now from those above me in organisations I work, and it's Dear Howard.
It is funny.
It's not funny.
Okay, number four.
It's your name, Howard.
And I love you, Howard, because you've never been scared to drop a name.
Ooh, yeah.
Marion Jones,
Bernie Eccleston,
Nicole Kidman,
Colin McRae,
Michael Schumacher and Eddie Irvine,
Dermot Brereton, Kelly Slater, Michael Jordan,
David Beckham,
Ricky Ponting,
Cadell Evans or Anna Mears
or Greg Norman
or Lewis Hamilton,
Steve Smith or David Warner.
Virat Kohli.
Come on, Howard. That was a lot of name dropping.
Is that out of the one podcast?
That's out of the one podcast. That's out of the one podcast.
He didn't, did he?
Well, they didn't want to talk about me. So
I left out periphery, like AFL people. I just left
that. In an hour, he dropped that amount of names.
All those, they were all mentioned.
Eddie Irvine.
Well, that's the difference. You guys obviously work in a small game in a small country. Some of us are truly global, and these are the type of people we deal with, Nathan.
All right. And the reason I also love you, Howard, is number three, because you never let, you know, the truth get in the way of a good story.
I've lived a pretty blessed life, so it's been happy days for me.
It's funny you mentioned that.
I've got this general, and the boys will play this on Friday night that I work with, I know, and they'll just take the piss out of me. I've got this general sort of hippie idea. I learnt more in that 2.5 years about life than probably in the next 25 years, and I learnt about resilience. You know, I'd hitchhike all the time, and you'd be on a road. I pretty much hitchhiked from Cairo to Cape Town, so it took me a year at that point.
Cairo to Cape Town is 7,200 kilometres. That takes 50 days. You're going to sit here and say that that's exactly what you did, Cairo to Cape Town.
Well, probably took me 13 months. I'll show you my passport if you want. I know you've grown up in Ballarat, and it was a big trip for the city for you, and I appreciate that, Nathan. Coming to Sydney for you is a real trip, but those of us that experience life, not just a football oval and a football, have the ability to travel in countries, continents like that.
All right.
Yeah, Cairo to Cape Town. Jesus, you know, you sort of stop along the way.
I'm going to go back and listen. It's a very long go on my tough upbringing.
And he's led a blessed life, too.
Geez. Well, I have until Friday night's come along.
Don't you start
in the background there, Dave.
This is all positive.
We got him on the ropes when you know it.
All positive, Howard. I've intro'd everything as a positive. I love it. This is what I love about Mark Howard.
A very positive message in the
number
podcast.
Two. And speaking of talent and playing your role as a role player, I love how you know where you sit in the world.
Understand your role. You are there to make these guys look as good as you possibly can. I'm the bloke in the back pocket that the footy comes to me, I get it, and I hand pass it to someone that really knows what they're doing, right? You've got to realise where you fit in the team, I think, in media as much as anything else. And I'm not Tommy Hawkins taking big sausages. I'm not Zach Tui kicking a goal after the siren against the D's. Oh. That's not what I'm doing, Hendo.
There you go.
You know your role. We love that. We love that about you.
Well, everybody has a role in the media, like Damo's in the box because, well, he's a great newsbreaker.
Me, get in here and dominate. I just know.
That's right.
That's my role.
I bring extraordinary leadership.
You've got to understand your role.
And your looks, Darcy. And take five
quite extraordinary natural good looks as well. I think you need a reminder of your role.
Well, I understand my role.
I think you've just taken your role.
Don't you start. And you're here as a newsbreaker, which...
It's good that you know your role.
Well,
we're the talent. Now, number one. Number
go
one,
on
and
it's not a very good segment. I
love the fact that you have taken upon you, I guess, a leaf out of our books, and you're happy to absolutely cream anybody at any point, like you did here.
This is a true story. Quite mild manager, might think. He's got one of the great tempers, Darce.
Yep.
He's an aggressive man. He's an angry man. He's quite a conceited man, let's be completely honest. Compares himself to Tom Brady in the looks. He's got a beautiful wife, beautiful family, but he's on pretty good terms with himself. I played a game of golf with him the day after the Commonwealth Games finished. Darce, who probably wasn't that respectful of me, Mari, or India in general, sprayed one off the first, started swearing, sprayed one off the second, sprayed one off the third. As mates, me and Mari are into him at this stage. By the fifth, he has thrown one of his clubs 100 metres, and poor old little bloke from India who's getting $2 a day has to go and retrieve more of Darce's clubs than he does balls. So at that stage, Andy Maher, who I've seen get in a tangle with Curtly Ambrose, there's a story for another day, probably pushed Darce a little bit too far. We thought he was having a bit of a laugh about it, saying, geez, you've got a bit of a temper on you. Darce whirled on him. If you don't shut up, I'm going to wrap this
club around your head.
It's a true story.
That's a drive-by.
Wasn't meditating as consistently at that stage, it's fair to say.
They asked me specifically about that.
And another one? Curtly Ambrose?
Drop the Curtly. Can he drop
just
them?
In passing, that one.
Oh, mate.
No, and actually, that is the top five. So that was 5-1. Mate. But I went back deeper.
Oh, there's another one.
And I wanted to find out the sort of person you were. So I went to somebody who's known you longer than any of us in the box. And his name is Will Anderson.
Oh, so
he was happy enough to give us this.
I've known Howie for over 30 years, and I always knew he'd be a successful cricket commentator because, you know, he has the same build as a stump. I'm glad he's finally doubled his weight to 40 kilograms, although half of that's his wallet now that he's got that lucrative contract with Fox Cricket. And money hasn't changed Howie because he hasn't spent any of it. His wallet's so thick now he actually fat shames it. He hasn't spent any of it on a new pair of shoes, but he could buy some finasteride to rub on his face so he can grow a decent beard. Howie's as tight as he claims to be with Gilly and KP. Has he mentioned he knows them? As you get older as a bloke, it's important to get your prostate checked, which is good news for Punter, because Howie can check while he's up there. And I'm glad he's finally got some success as a Hawks fan. Has he mentioned that he's a Hawks fan? Anyway, check out his podcast. Has he mentioned he's got a podcast? It's great. I think it's called The Howard Games.
Not bad.
Pretty very good.
He was good, Will.
And smart for Brandy to outsource the comedy to. Smartest thing he's done in a while, Nate.
Well done, Nate. Check out Zach and Lockie's podcast. It's called The Elephant Rope. Juddy's been on it. They got Mick Fanning, so they got some genuine guests as well. Well done to you, Nate. Now, next.
Hi, Brandy.
Next, the international guest that is going to rock this station to its foundation.
The biggest.
Right.
The most relevant.
The biggest or the most relevant?
Both.
Right. Well done to you, Nathan. Nice top five. Who's got next week?
It just goes in order, I think, doesn't it? It goes back to...
Damo, I think.
Damo.
No, it might be Howie's.
If it was me,
we'll sort it out.
You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
You know what I'm going to do next week? The top five stories Damo's broken on Triple M this year.
Ooh.
I'm not sure there's five.
You have cut up rough, haven't you?
We went there.
You have cut up rough, haven't you?
Oh, I hear these days when I say, what's the big story? He's like, I'll tell you about who's in and out of the Sunday teams.
Next, you're going to tell me he's a black soul.
That's all we get.
We might have to get Tommy Brown on.
Well, it'd be nice to get a story occasionally. Time for...
Letterman.
How'd you like being in jail?
Parkinson.
Why do you say that? I mean, do you mean that?
Denton.
Stay with me, it's okay.
Judd.
I've been too big for football for a little while, let's be honest.
Chris Judd is going deep.
I've CJ.
How are you, big boy?
Well, thank you, Howard. We are very lucky tonight, Duke, to have a premiership player.
Yes.
One of the greatest players of the modern game. And now brother... of arguably the world's best soccer player.
Oh,
I'm talking to the one and only Daniel Kerr. Daniel, how are you?
Good, thanks, Judman. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. Now, you're over in France with Luca, your daughter, and Michelle and your extended family. I touched base with you yesterday and there was a bomb scare. Can you talk me through that?
Mate, you know, I don't travel just because I hate public transport and... Yeah, there was a bomb scare and it took us 13 hours to get to Nice. And yeah, I was booking my ticket home. I was devastated. I was arguing with mum. I disowned this young one and I was walking through Nice by myself at about 3:30 in the morning just trying to get my head together, to be honest. It was a very, very long day.
Now, we grew up, obviously, together in our late teens and early 20s. I remember being at your parents' house once a week for family dinner and we'd be playing... basketball and various other sports with Sam, who felt at the time like she was about 7 or 8 years old. She would always go and watch you play footy. What's it like now to repay the favour and sit there in the stands watching your sister dominate on the soccer field?
Mate, it's interesting you talk about that basketball because she still talks about it. She's still spewing you beat her back then. used to come to her house and knock us off in basketball. We hate you for it. But it's really good fun. I mean, she's playing really well. She looks after herself. She's really professional. So, you know, she's getting the fruits of her labour. She trains really hard. They've got a really, really good bunch of girls and they're a champ. They're in the round of 16 of the World Cup, which is, you know, fantastic for Australian soccer. And, yeah, I'm just privileged that, you know, Sam's a really big part of that.
And back then, she was actually playing footy, wasn't she, up until about the age of 11 or 12, if I remember. And I think she was winning the league best and fairest. Can you fill her... the listeners in on just how good an actual footy player she was before she took to soccer?
mate, she had no interest in playing soccer. She was she wanted to play AFL, but back then there was no pathways. The last AFL game she played, I think she was playing up a couple of grades, and she snagged four from the pocket, but she got a really, really bad corky. And me and the old man had to sit her down and kind of convince her to play soccer. She was just a massive West Coast Eagles fan. She was in the cheer squad, front row of the cheer squad, when we were playing for the Eagles, Jugman.
I remember.
I actually got in trouble for giving her the match ball after a game.
Only 17 yeah, weeks in a row.
We had to convince her to play soccer. So, yeah, she's an AFL nut. Well, I caught up with her yesterday and I thought we were going to talk a bit about soccer, and we spoke about, you know, whether Jeremy McGovern will get reported and whether how many weeks the guy that hit Luke Shuey deserves. So, yeah, she's a massive football fan.
And life for you now, you own and run a security business. Talk us through that and how everything's going for you now.
Yeah, I don't own it, but I help run a security business with Statewide Security. Yeah, it's good fun. My boss is extremely lenient with my time, which allows me to spend some time working, you know, for my foundation, which is cool, working with young Aboriginal kids, teaching footy and soccer. So pretty cruisy life, to be honest. I probably should be working a little bit harder, but at the minute I'm on holiday.
And still having a kick every now and then?
Mate, I just hate exercising. So once a month, I just try and play a game of football just to keep the body healthy. I played for Taylor Lakes a couple of weeks ago in Melbourne, and the ruckman picked me up and smashed me. So I think that will be the last time I play footy.
Hearing the voice of Daniel Kerr, a great mate of Chris Judd's, clearly premiership player, and now known as the brother of Sam Kerr, Kerry. That's where you're going to be at for some time. It's great to catch. Are you surprised by just how your sister's captured the whole nation at the moment? She's probably the most sought after athlete in Australia. Is it still, you know, remarkable for you to know that that's the case?
Yeah, look, it's a bit surreal, to be honest. I was coaching Thornley and they were calling me boss, and I thought it was because I was going as a really good coach, and then I heard one of the boys saying it was because it's brother of Sam, and I was a bit shattered about that. I ended up resigning, actually, not over that, but it's really good. I think she probably learned, she hung around Chris a lot when she was young. She kind of has that professionalism. I was saying to her yesterday, she reminds me a lot of the way Juddy prepared, you know, for footy and stuff like that. And she was always around, you know, professional athletes as a kid. And I think, she, you know, the best of all the people she hung around as a kid has kind of rubbed off on her, which is really good.
And the phrase "suck on that" is going to be synonymous with her. We quote Sam Kerr on that front. She's got a bit of go about her as well.
Yeah, she still hung around me a little bit too much. she's got a little bit of an edge to her. She wears her heart in her sleeves. She's just a super, super competitive person, and sometimes, you know, that does boil over a little bit. She seriously does still think about when Juddy beat her in basketball 10, 15 years ago. That's how competitive she is. So I think, you know, after, you know, a bit of a tough time for the Matildas, she was just so pumped up, and I found it funny and she found it funny, but we had a few critics over it, but it was all in good fun.
No, it was fantastic. Daniel, Mark Howard here. It's absolutely fantastic to hear from you, and you're getting the opportunity to watch your sister in action. What's it like for you and your family? She's kicked four the other night against Jamaica. When you're in the crowd seeing your sister do that on truly the world stage, how do you react when it goes in the back of the net?
Mate, I struggled. The day of the game, I struggled to get out of bed. I feel like I get as nervous as her before she's playing. So I sit in the stands, and, you know, I don't just watch Sam. I want the girls to win, because I know that Sam, even though she cares for her performance, she's one of those people that all she wants to do is win. And I just want the Matildas to win. And to be perfectly honest, I'm really grey, and I reckon I've gone more grey than black hair since being here. It's just so stressful, you know, in such an important tournament. And the whole family kind of lives the game with her. And it's been exciting that they're winning. I mean, if they win through the round of 16 and make it to the semi-finals, it's going to be, you know, completely awesome. Not just for the family, but for the team and for Australian soccer. It's pretty crazy that a small nation like us, you know, with so many sports for people to play, you know, matching it with countries that really, you know, soccer's bordering on religion to some places that we're playing against.
Daniel, we really appreciate it. When you see your sister and the rest of the Matildas, give them a big shout-out, because the whole country's behind them. You're lucky getting to see it. We really appreciate you coming on the Friday Huddle, mate. Brilliant to hear from you and hear how your sister's going.
Thanks, Danny.
Cheers, boys. See you, gentlemen.
You talked it up. Well done.
It's a good get.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
And how well does he speak about watching his sister?
Mm. It's good.
Tell
good
to hear, wasn't it?
So you used to go round to...
Every Wednesday night we'd go around there. We'd have family dinner there at the Kerrs, Roxanne and Roger. We'd play basketball, a little shooting game, which was the routine. And very good family. Very good to me when I moved over there from Perth. Spent a lot of time over at the Kerrs' house. So good to hear his voice. Good to hear him doing really well as well after some interesting times post-footy.
If the Matildas could live the dream, Darce, and go and win the Football World
It'd
Cup...
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
She's the captain. She'll be the biggest athlete this country has by the length of the straight if she's not already.
She's not just the captain, is she? She puts them on her shoulders week in and week out.
She's the best player.
By a country mile, isn't she?
The headers she scored this week were quite... Like, the level that she will be known around the world, it's incredible.
And I love it. The game was being streamed live the other day in our radio studio and we were watching the action. You're completely distracted. You wanted to stop doing everything and you just wanted to watch her do what she does best. I mean, it's just a great reminder too, Juddy, of... He was a freak player, Daniel Kerr. I mean, I don't need to tell anyone in this box, but sometimes when life moves on and you focus, that athleticism and that power and that compete, you see a lot of Daniel Kerr and Sam Kerr playing soccer.
And that hardness, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's what you see, just that aggression for the contest. So you do.
It's a win for the round ball game, though, because we obviously work in the AFL, Damo, and so many of the elite talent end up in the AFL. You see so many female athletes now going back to AFLW.
Yep.
You got to say we are blessed that Sam made the decision to follow the round ball game.
Yeah, it is, because the money that's attached now to AFLW over the journey will be so compelling that people like. And I didn't
West Coast will throw the sink at her.
You still think they will?
Well, they'll throw the sink at her, whether or not it's appealing. But she would.
You'd hope
would
she
be a really
stays
good,
with football.
I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
But the offer, you'd be silly not to, wouldn't you? Because she'd still dominate in our game as well.
All right, our next guest. Oh, I turn around, look at this man. Oh, wow, what a champion of the game. 33 games with Essendon, 228 with Sydney Darce, 2012 Premiership player when he was All-Australian.
Great effort.
And also, probably beyond that, now the host of one of the great podcasts that has ever hit the financial world, the Richards Report, which we'll get to. Teddy Richards joins us. Hello to you, Ted.
Thanks very much for the intro.
Hey, great Teddy. To see you. We'll leave you and Juddy discuss the awkward situation with the podcast in a moment.
A bit of tension there.
Well, there is. Should we get to it off the top or not?
I think so.
Probably needs addressing straight away because...
Well, Ted had... he launched into the world of financial podcasts and everyone listens to it.
Great podcast.
A massive podcast, massive numbers, and you were dominating the market, Ted. Congratulations. Tell us a bit about the show.
It's called The Richards Report, and I just talk about investing. But I should say that Chris has got his own, and this duel has been going back to the days when we were 7, 8 years old. We grew up in the same street back in
Right.
So I do think that he's costing me a bit of podcast traffic. He's also cost me a few Brownlow votes over the years, a few best and fairest back at East Sandy.
Well, he's now launched the Master of the Market. Obviously, you know, everyone listened to your show. Warren Buffett, I know, is a massive fan of your show. And now Juddy's come in and done a big bomb in the other end of the pool with what is called Masters of the Market. Unless you've got an MBA, I'm not sure what you go. I've listened to it, Chris. It's very, very good, but it's very highbrow.
How's it going, Juddy? Is there any data that's come through?
Going terrific, Duke, but it's a big market. There's plenty of room for plenty of fish in the sea.
I had a listen to your episode with Mark Carnegie, and to be fair, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
That's not how we roll.
It's Triple M here. You meant to actually go the other way.
You can tell I've done have a medium.
Ted, he came on air today and said it's the number one podcast, bar none. I've wiped the floor with the market. You said this on radio with me this morning.
That's what the scoreboard says, Luke. That's not me saying.
The data.
It's doing well. It's doing well. And you sing when you're winning.
You also said you wanted to be a touch more highbrow than the Barefoot and Teddy Show, which I thought was disrespectful.
Very similar to Teddy Show, or maybe a little bit more highbrow than the Barefoot Investor. I'm the bareheaded investor. And, he's more your gateway, and then you get your big boy pants, and then you come across to the Richards Report or the Masters of the Market. That's how it works.
Was he like this as a kid when you grew up with him? Was he this arrogant? Teddy, tell us about a young 7 or 8 year old Chris Judd.
He dominated at Duncan Oval back at East Sandy days, and we both grew up in Fernhill Road.
We're in the same team together.
Yeah, same team, and You know, his podcast is doing really well, but unfortunately, he hasn't been nominated for an Australian podcast.
That's better.
That's like a rookie nomination or something.
And what type of downloads are you getting with your show, Teddy?
Oh, I've lost track.
Right. That big.
Yeah, Howie's weighing in. Is he?
I just like to know.
We know where you're going.
I know. It's not about you, Howie.
Go and listen to yourself. You're here as a facilitator of people who have done something, mate. We don't need to hear a bet.
I just wanted to know if he was up to 20 million or if he wasn't quite at that level yet.
I'm ready for the name drops coming.
No, we'll leave it there. Hey, what's up with life these days, Teddy? It's great to see you looking fit. You're firing.
Thanks. I try to keep fit because I'm down to run the New York Marathon in November. So I try to keep, but strained my calf a few weeks ago. So that's taken a bit of a setback. But I've stepped away from football and well and truly into investment management. I absolutely love it. It's always been a passion of mine. But apart from that, moved back to Melbourne, young kids, and up here tonight in Sydney because we've got a past players event. And so catching up with mates I haven't seen, you know, it gets hard to catch up with former teammates, and already had a beer and a burger, probably plenty more to come of both.
Hey, Teddy, tell us about that, because I reckon that's fascinating if you're out there listening. It's a bit of muscle memory kick back in. You're now a prestigious investor and you move on to family life. But when you get around the Swans boys again, as you said, do you roll the clock back a bit?
Yeah, I you do. And you form a bond because you're so close for so many years, and we get split up due to, you know, trades, transfers and people going back to their home states. But there needs to be some sort of a reason to you all get together. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that have reunions around grand final time. And so I saw that this was going on, started for us last year. And I was just so jealous. And I thought, you know, I'm coming along. And I think we're up to about 40 or 50 guys here, which is pretty big for us. It's a new initiative for the club.
How many will you do a year? Is it just the one per year?
Yeah, just the one. And it's probably a bit harder for the Swans because so few players in the past have been drafted from here. So past players now have to, you know, so often have to fly in. So we've got Mitch Morton who's flying over from Perth for this. Right. So, you know, guys that are flying in from all over, and Paul Kelly. So, you know, also guys that I never played with, David Murphy, and be able to have a beer with them and, you know, reminisce and tell some stories and, catch up with old mates.
We're speaking to Teddy Richards on the Friday Huddle. Teddy, obviously the 2012 Premiership, a massive moment in your career. You played a lot of footy with Adam Goods, and without being too serious, obviously it's been a massive talking point in AFL football in the last month, but probably in the last 4 or 5 years, what's happened to Adam. We don't see him much. We don't hear from him. Obviously the Dockers are out now. How do you reflect on that whole period of time?
Yeah, I really feel for Adam, for what he had to go through, and I feel like he didn't shy away from it, you know, and he really put himself out there. And I feel what he's done is really forced a lot of conversations to be had at home and at schools, and really made it a bit easier for people that are, you know, coming after him. So unfortunately, Adam didn't finish football on the note that his career deserved. But I think it's just so fantastic from my perspective to see the recognition, you know, for what teams are doing tonight, like Hawthorn, to be able to say, listen, you know, we've learnt from this, and we want to show a sign of respect.
Have you seen the final quarter, the documentary?
I haven't yet. I was meant to go to the Melbourne presentation last week, but unfortunately my kids were sick, so I'm intending on seeing it in the next few weeks.
For those who've seen it, and the second one too, the Australian Dream, which is the Stan Grant produced one with Adam Goods, it certainly causes one to reflect. You lived it with him as a teammate. Did you have the full awareness of what was going on? Because I think from the outside, people look back on it, they didn't.
Yeah, oh, we were well and truly aware. You know, it was so evident. It was just a matter of how it was going to be dealt with, because the more that we speak about it, the more that it was being fueled. So, and unfortunately, we could see firsthand the effect that it was having on him week after week. And there were some fantastic initiatives done by individuals and teams throughout the process. But unfortunately, it really couldn't stem the behaviour that was happening. So, I think it was...
Were you disappointed with the whole industry outside of the world of the Swans, and that goes to other clubs and supporter groups and the AFL itself?
No, I think it's wrong to say the whole industry, because I can remember, you know, off the top of my head, Geelong doing some fantastic things to, I guess, call out some of the behaviour. So I don't want to paint everyone with the same brush here. So there definitely were a lot of people, but there was also a lot of people out there
trying to
do good things.
And Teddy, you're on a catch up with your old mates tonight, reunion tonight. Will Goodsy be part of that? Is he connecting with his old teammates as you'd hope?
Goodsy had a baby girl, baby Adelaide Goods, I think about 2 weeks ago. Yep. So
he's got his hands full.
Yeah, I'd love it if he was here, but I can imagine that he may not be.
Teddy, what's your favourite moment of the 2012 Premiership? I'm sure there are a lot from it, but what do you walk away looking back now, almost 7 years later on?
The Premiership's the obvious thing, but I was lucky enough to play for 16 years. And if the only thing that you enjoy is when you win a Premiership, your footy for career is going to be a pretty boring thing. So it's a boring answer, but it's the little things that I miss. And it's probably some of the things that are going to go on tonight where we just talk a bit of shit with each other and, you know, and just enjoy each other's banter and each other's company. And I guess also playing team sport, working hard together. So, you know, like I said before, I'm trying to run a marathon, you know, working hard by yourself. It's you don't have that same motivation, that same enjoyment.
Teddy, two-part question. We can guarantee your vote for Luke 1, Darcy?
I already have. I flew up to Melbourne. It's a talk of the airports. Like, it's everywhere. So it
fills me with great joy to hear you say that, Teddy.
Cheesy sort of grin. And second one being a portfolio guy, cryptocurrencies. Where do you sit on that?
Nate's big on it.
We've had a dabble, so we're hoping. That
okay, I couldn't be more opposite than that. So I'm far more boring. Steer clear of it.
Yep.
It's outside of my circle of competence. If you can make some money out of it, good. But I reckon.
What about the new Facebook Libra cryptocurrency? Are we buying that, Teddy, or not?
If I don't make money out of that, I don't care. Like sometimes you just got to go. Listen, I don't understand that. I'll stick to my knitting with what I know. And
we've got a big
Teddy.
Rich
I don't
portfolio
understand.
Here. We like. No, to, we
I,
like
I,
to,
I don't know. Understand. It and yeah. I'm having a crack at it.
Okay. Well, Charlie, I don't know.
You don't have to dance every dance.
Yeah,
for you,
you don't have to. And the other Buffett analogy, you don't have to swing at every pitch. And I'm willing just to let this go. I enjoy reading about it and it's from entertainment purposes, but not from my investing.
Teddy, we really appreciate your time. The podcast is The Richards Report.
The Richards Report.
Award-winning podcast.
Award-winning.
Terrific.
Technically, I didn't actually win. Oh, but
we don't worry about details here, Teddy.
Don't worry about that.
It's Triple M.
Award-nominated.
You've won in our eyes.
Teddy, great to see you with a big smile on your face. Great to speak to you, Teddy Richards. It's our great pleasure to welcome to the box in what's been a very, very busy show, the CEO of the Hawthorn Football Club, Justin Reeves, here. G'day, Justin. How are you? We'll just get you plugged in there. Good evening to you.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, great news for Hawthorn supporters, I guess, tonight, that Jarrad Roughead is back in the side. It's a tricky one, isn't it, to handle a legend of the football club, which Jarrad is, keep everyone on board, keep the player happy, but then still progress the team forward. It's a difficult balance, I guess, for any football club.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Jarrad, there's no more, you know, loved player at Hawthorn Football Club than Jarrad. And Jarrad's, you know, Jarrad playing his best footy for us is in our best team. So we're really looking forward to him tonight making a difference. We felt like we missed some of Jarrad's presence last week. Jarrad's got, you know, runs on the board. What we see tonight we hope is going to make us much better.
Hey, Rizzi, as a CEO of the football club, is a big issue staring down, an initiative, I believe, driven by Sean Burgoyne to celebrate Adam Goods, which is a great idea, and all the players are going to wear Goodsy's number 37 in the warm-up today. But there's been a backlash from some parts of your supporter base. It's, I'm assuming, fairly disappointing. How do you address that as a CEO? What have you done?
Yeah, I think it's a little disappointing, in all honesty. I think that, I just sort of go back a few months. So the Indigenous players had a camp in about February earlier this year, which was the first time that anybody watched this video. Our Indigenous players, Sean Burgoyne, Jarman Impey, Chad Wingard and Matthew Walker were at that camp, and they came back to the club after it and they said, listen, we've seen this video and we feel pretty strongly that we would like to do something as a small token of our support for Adam, but also of the Indigenous players, because we don't ever want to see this happen again. So they had the idea at the time that they would do something symbolic, and that would be the weather 37 when we came to Sydney on their warm-up tops. Not in the game, you know, as a bit of a gesture for our Indigenous players historically and also now, but also Indigenous footballers in general and certainly Adam. They didn't want to see what happened to Adam ever happen again. They thought they might be able to add to that. We asked the boys to go and talk to the playing group and sort of canvass some support, of which unanimous support from the players to say this is an easy thing to do. It's a very, very small token of our support and we're right behind. So they came to us then as a club, and we said, yep, you know, if the playing group are united on this, it's a very, very small sacrifice to wear a 37 on a training top. Absolutely, 100% we support this. So, you know, we couldn't be more supportive.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be one of the people that have watched the documentary, and certainly changed some of my thinking. When you actually look at this in a sequential order of what happened over a few years, that this is a very small token of support that I think is really important for these guys. So we back our people all the time.
So what do you say to your supporters who were vocal yesterday particularly, and I know made it known to you and others at the club that they weren't happy with that, as you say, gesture?
Yeah, I guess I'd ask everybody to just, you know, take a, I think Chad, Jarman Impey yesterday was the one who came forward and said, just take a breath. You know, this is nothing, you know, we're not making any big stands. There's no demonstrations, anything like this. It's just a small token of support. And I'd actually encourage people to watch the documentary.
Yeah.
If they haven't watched the documentary, just go and watch the documentary and then maybe they'll reframe some of their view. Maybe.
You personally had a big week too, because you're the chief executive officer of a footy club with Jeff Kennett as president. And he went down a racial stereotyping path with comments he made. How did you personally get involved with that and get to the point where Jeff did, in the end, after some initial Jeff stubbornness, apologise for what he said?
I mean, I think all good football clubs, and I think that includes us, is that when anything happens within your club, the best thing to do is address it as quickly and as responsibly as you can. You know, I had a conversation with Jeff. Jeff's his own man, as I'm sure we all know. And I was really, really proud of the fact that Jeff did take that feedback on board. And I think he had the time to have a look at it, and he came out and said sorry. He actually didn't sort of dance around it. He came out and said sorry publicly. And I think that was a really good result. I think if he had his time again, it would be very different. He acknowledged it, he took responsibility for it, and he apologised. So for me, that's a good result.
And to start the big week you had as a footy club and as a individual within it, the Ben Stratton situation, which started last Friday, was initially the story of the week, wasn't it, with the pinching and the punching, and he's got 2 weeks. Are you okay with that as a chief executive of the club at which he's captain?
Am I okay with it?
Okay with the suspension that he got.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ben is too. I mean, I think that it's, you know, it's... You know, a number of you guys here have played the game at the highest level. It's an intense, combative sort of game. Sometimes you cross the line, and I think Ben did. I think he knows that. Again, I'm really glad the fact that we had those conversations. He took responsibility for it, again, and he owned up to it, copped his whack, move on, done.
We are speaking to the CEO of the Hawthorn Football Club, Justin Reeves, on the Friday Huddle. Here's Chris Judd.
When something like the Stratton things happens on a Friday night, do you think it gets treated differently to if it happens on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday twilight game?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Friday night football, you know, there's more cameras, there's more more focus. It's the only game on, you know, it sort of leads into that Saturday morning media-wise and everything like that. Doesn't excuse or doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean you can do it.
Yeah.
But it certainly creates a bigger focus, you know, for sure. Friday nights are... Yeah, the big spot in footy.
We saw Sirialli a couple of weeks ago freeze MND. Do you hold out hope of him coming back, or is it just a fairy tale that's never going to happen?
No, I think it's a fairy tale that's never going to happen. I mean, as much as we love it, you know, Cyril is, you know, like Ruff, just one of those absolute much-loved people from our footy club and will be forever. And Hawthorn people love Cyril. And I was just rapt to see Cyril come out, you know, last week, I think, and he said that, you know, if he was ever going to play anywhere, it would only be at Hawthorn, but he's never going to come back and play. So I think Cyril's pretty happy. I was in the Tiwi Islands a few weeks ago independently, and it's a bloody beautiful place out there. I don't blame him for wanting to spend a bit more time.
Might be a first. I'm not sure. You might be able to confirm this, Justin, but CEO having his son on the list at the same time. And your boy Ned is 210-centimetre ruck prospect who is an incredible athlete. The great privilege of seeing him when he was about 198-centimetre. I think he was about 14 at the time, and he just keeps growing. It's remarkable. How's he going?
Yeah, he's a... You know, I would say he's a work in progress. It's sort of a bit weird. You're right, having your son on the list, and you know, and as much as some people won't agree with me or won't, but I had nothing to do with it. And the footy club came to me and said, we've got an issue that we want your support on. We're looking at drafting your son. How do you feel about it? And I just said from the first minute, I said, if you're serious about it, this is the last conversation we ever have, and I'm not going to be involved in any of those discussions. If you take him or if you don't, it's not going to ever be spoken about between us again. So they did take him. It's interesting, you know, you're bumping him around the hallways. You can't miss him. He's so bloody big. but you do. You know, he's a work in progress. He's just started playing in the VFL in the last few weeks. He's got a long way to go, but he's a development.
good contract negotiation over breakfast with Dad. Just what do you think?
I think it's all that ruck coaching you had from the at the plane and I saw the Take 5 magazine. I was very, very impressed. Very impressed. And I'm certainly vote one, Luke Darcy.
Breezy, did you know that Darcy in his first three games of AFL football actually didn't touch it?
I was a work in progress too back then.
Darcy, the bigger guys do take a bit longer to take. Come on.
Hey, Justin, we appreciate your time being so candid in what's been an unusually tough week for the footy club. I'm sure there's plenty of blue skies going forward for the Hawks.
Thanks for having me.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.